Hello, this is Reverend Lindsay again, and thanks for joining me for part two of our Stay at Home Worship podcast for my meditation on the scriptures for July 12th, 2020, entitled The Prodigal Sower, that's S-O-W-E-R, based upon our reading from Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. In that reading, Jesus tells a parable and then explains it to his disciples. Maybe. Because it's possible that the explaining wasn't done by Jesus, but was added by the gospel writer later for the early church that he was writing for. A church trying to understand why some accepted the gospel and others didn't. But even if they are Jesus' words, the explanation isn't as straightforward as it may seem, and it's not just the first listeners who need some help figuring it out. Because by their very nature, parables aren't easy. Jesus tells a lot of them, and they're very familiar to many of us, but they're still an unfamiliar genre. They're not fables or short stories, or allegories, those symbolic stories where one thing is used to represent and explain something else. Parables have been compared to riddles because they make us ponder, and to onions because they are many layered. I like thinking of the parables of Jesus as big rooms, kind of like museum galleries that Jesus welcomes us into, to hang out in and wander around in with Jesus, examining this, admiring that, moving on hurriedly from something else, only to find ourselves drawn back to it. So that's what I'd like to do this morning, to metaphorically walk around in this parable with Jesus and invite you to walk around with us. In fact, you might want to literally walk around. Why not? And I'm going to give you time within the sermon to ponder, and if you have company, someone there, maybe to discuss. For though this is often called the parable of the sower, I think there are at least five layers, five rooms, five parables here. So listen to the parable of the seeds. A sower went out to sow with a sack of poor, helpless seeds. They had no say in where they were sown. They just landed wherever they were flung. Do you think they minded? Does a seed get upset if it lands on rocky ground? Does a seed get terrified if birds come and gobble it up? Does a seed go, "Yay, I've landed in a fertilized patch"? Maybe. But I'm not sure we need to worry about those seeds. For inside each seed lies the kernel of life. Now, I planted some basil seeds once, itty-bitty things, and they grew into hardy, leafy, fragrant, delicious plants. A seed may seem insignificant or helpless, but there is such power within it. Some say the seeds here represent the kingdom of God, the word of God, Jesus, or the spirit of Christ. Perhaps all those things. So I invite you to think about a time in your life, or a story you've heard about when some little seed, a seed of hope, a seed of truth, of encouragement, of challenge, planted maybe years before, took root and began to grow. And if I don't leave you enough time, now feel free to put me on pause. The music is by pianist Roy Eaton from his album, I Play for Peace. And again, think about the seeds taking root in your life. The soil. Jesus tells us about four kinds of soil. The hard path, beaten down underfoot so that the seeds just lie there, exposed to the elements and to scavengers like birds. The rocky ground, with just enough dirt mixed in that the seeds can sprout, but not enough to let them put down roots. Thorny soil, covered by brambles, which choke off the fledgling plants. The good soil, cleared, deep, rich in nutrients, that lets the plants put down roots and flourish. It could be that the different kinds of soil are the different kinds of people that hear the word. Some are hard-hearted, scoffers, unbelievers, sinners. Some receive the word with joy, like new converts swept away with enthusiasm, but not mature enough to nurture the seeds of newfound faith. And so they wither away. Some are just too distracted by worry, by worldly pursuits, by the burdens of day-to-day living, which choke the life out of their faith. Then there's the good soil. Like us, right? It's tempting, the idea of ourselves as good soil. And don't get me wrong, I know y'all are. But I suspect that we each embody all the different kinds of soil at different times in our lives. Is there a time in your life when you felt particularly hard or rocky, or thorny? Have beaten down patches of racism, sexism, homophobia, xenophobia, prevented good growth? Are there times when you felt particularly nurturing and receptive? Remember our own struggles to be good soil, to let God take root in our lives. Perhaps it makes us more understanding of the struggles of others, more patient, more nurturing even. And it might give us hope as well. When we remember the power of the good news in every seed of God, lying dormant but not dead, until we are able to receive it and let it take root. Listen to the parable of the birds. Those nasty, greedy scavenger birds swooping in to steal the good seed. Or could it be that the birds are just hungry, starving perhaps for good news? Maybe they fly in like scavengers because they haven't been invited in. Because something in their lives has made them fearful that they won't be welcomed. That the word of God is not for the likes of them. Or maybe they're only passing by on their way somewhere else. It doesn't mean they shouldn't be fed. And don't forget, birds spread seeds too. Who knows where a single word dropped like a seed from the beak or the other end of a robber bird? Who knows where it might fall? Who knows where or how it might take root and grow? Have you ever been made to feel that the word wasn't for you? That you weren't welcomed? Or have you ever received a seed dropped by the most unlikely person in the most unlikely place that took root? Now consider this. Maybe some birds are greedy and even evil thieves of the word. Before the Civil War, slave owners tried to use the word of God to plant seeds of obedience and docility in the minds of enslaved African Americans. But Bible stories like those of Moses leading the enslaved Israelites out of Egypt, of the radical love of Jesus, became seeds of freedom, seeds that continued to take root in the face of Jim Crow, and to bear fruit 100-fold and more in the Civil Rights Movement, and today in the Black Lives Matter movement. Look at the birds of the air, Jesus says. They sow not, except sometimes they do, even if unintentionally. Have you heard the parable of the harvest? Seeds, carefully planted and tended, might be expected to yield a sevenfold harvest. Tenfold would be fantastic. Seeds scattered willy-nilly and left to their fate to produce a crop of 100 times or 60 times or even 30. Miraculous! Or is it? Remember the power deep within the seed. Is the bountiful harvest a miracle? Or does the sower know all along that seeds sown so abundantly, so extravagantly, are bound to flourish? Where have you seen such bounty? What has nurtured its growth? Or the opposite? What has prevented a crop from flourishing? Which brings us to hear now the parable of the sower. A sower went out to sow, and she was kind of offbeat or maybe reckless. She didn't plant her seeds in careful little rows. She didn't take soil samples or hire an agricultural consultant. She just took big handfuls of seed and scattered them with wild abandon. Let those precious seeds fall where they may, on the hard beaten path, on thin stony dirt, in bramble patches, and on rich fertile soil, not knowing, not caring, it seems, where they fell. She fed the birds as well as the earth, and she watched those seeds take root and grow. This parable of Jesus tells us something about ourselves, but it also tells us about God. God, the reckless, generous, lavish sower, throwing caution to the wind along with the seed, throwing the powerful seed. The word of the kingdom, the love of Christ, letting it fall in every nook and cranny of our lives and of the lives of others. Hard patches, rocky parts, the prickly, thorny places of our souls, as well as the fertile ones. We are the soil and the birds. Sometimes we are even the seed carrying within our hearts the promise of God's kingdom. And we too are called to be sowers, spreading God's seeds willy-nilly, not keeping it to ourselves, not trying to figure out who is worthy to receive it, not counting up the cost, but willing to let it fall on hard, rocky, prickly ground and be gobbled up by hungry strangers. For as a hardy plant can push up through a New York City sidewalk, God's seeds, God's good news, God's love made flesh in Christ Jesus can take root and flourish in the most unlikely places. Well, our little walking tour of this parable is almost over. But before it ends, listen to the parable again. As you hear the word, I invite you to think once more about where you find yourself on this particular day in this parable. Jesus said, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Amen. Thanks.